Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Homeopathy World Community Blog Talk Radio, creating waves of awareness over the airwaves, via the internet, and by friends telling friends they care, working in unity to promote homeopathy around the globe. Every Wednesday, join us as we explore heart health and homeopathy, a show co-hosted by Homeopathy World Community founder and homeopath, Debbie Brook, with Dr. Adil Chimsanawala Kasim, MD cardiologist. We invite you to comment and call in to contribute your questions. Let's go.
Hi, I'm Debbie Brook, founder of Homeopathy World Community. Today is January 25th, 2011. This is show number 13 with our co-host, Dr. Adil Kasim, MD. He's a fourth-generation homeopath with many years of experience, and he amazes me every time we get on the show because of his openness and new view of medicine and health. Dr. Adil, MD, belongs to this fourth generation reputed family of the Chimsanawalas who have been devoted to the service of homeopathy for over 105 years. Practically every facet of the homeopathic system, including professional practice, developing clinics and hospitals, homeopathic research, academics, business, manufacturing, and I know that he does lots of lecturing to his colleagues and student groups all around the country and in many other countries. Today, the name of Chimsanawala is synonymous with homeopathy, and that is what a wonderful byline or tagline he has. And we have had a good number of shows. He's trying to sign in today and is probably in need of refreshing his website page in order to get on the line. And I would like to let you know that we have had 13 shows. They are all listed on the Homeopathy World Community website. On the right-hand column is a photo of Dr. Adil, and you just click on it, and you will see a whole listing, a range of shows that we have been doing, everything from heart failure, heart attacks, cardiovascular disease, hypertension. Last week, he did a show on the seven types of exercise, and a discussion that I was having with him this morning was all about what kind of a walk you go on. And I see that he is on the chat, and I'm wondering why there's a problem for him to sign in today. Again, he might have to refresh his screen in order to see the sign in button. And other people, if you are interested in making comments, there is a live chat. And there is also a telephone number to call in to ask questions. And that is on the screen. Hopefully people see it on the Blog Talk Radio. You know what I'm going to do for you? I'm going to try and put on a new chat window, and maybe that will open it up for him to call in. So we're going to be, the topic of discussion and learning today is thyroid disease, hypothyroid. It is quite prevalent today. And he also is going to talk about maintaining and caring for the heart using homeopathic remedies. And as I'm waiting for him to call in, I have reopened the chat line, and hopefully he will be able to sign in. We also have a good number of other shows, So on Monday night, we have Grant Bentley from homeopathic naturopath from Australia talking about facial analysis. And that has been ongoing for about 7 shows already. Check those out. We have podcasts or archives that you can download and listen at your leisure, in your car, on your computer, on your iPhone, iPad, whatever it is that you have, the type of device today. We also ask that you help us to spread the word by sharing these shows. Tweet on Twitter, post it on your Facebook. You can actually get the embed code for each and every show and go ahead. Oh, he's on the line.
Hi, yay. Debbie.
Okay, I see that you were able to sign in. Okay, and I was just letting the folks know how they can share and disseminate this knowledge, because we have heard from people far and wide in all different countries. You have taken cases just because people have listened into the show, and I'm letting people know they can embed each show and put it on their website for people to enjoy while they visit their web
exactly.
or their blog.
Exactly.
Okay.
And am I audible?
You are sounding really clear, and I was just telling them we were having an earlier discussion about exercise, and you were recommending to me that I not do an hour walk, and I put away my cell phone. And I concentrate on just meditating on that walk and maybe even picking up my speed. So I make it a longer distance but a shorter time length.
Exactly, because, I told you the difference, basic difference between exercise and exertion. Many people denote just moving about as exercise, but exercise is very purposeful. It has to be done with purpose, and it has to be done with full concentration. And it cannot be done while you're moving leisurely, talking with others on phone. So you don't achieve the purpose. Once in a while, it's all right. But then regular exercise really demands full concentration.
Okay. Well, I will have to put my cell phone away, except for calling my mom and checking in
exactly.
on her. But, I think I keep up a pretty good pace. So I'll just have to concentrate on that a little bit more. So today we're going to be talking about the thyroid, a very important gland in our throat, and you're going to probably give us a description all along and get us up to speed on that part of our body.
Yeah, this is the pre-Independence Day tomorrow, pre-Republic Day. We have Republic Day tomorrow in India, and the entire country will be in celebrations tomorrow. So,
okay.
On this eve of this Republic Day, we are starting on the next show, that is thyroid disorders and homeopathy as well as heart. And before I go on, thyroid is a small gland. It's an endocrine gland located on the anterior superior portion of the trachea. And it has got a great arterial supply from superior inferior thyroid arteries and superior middle and inferior venous drainage as well. Now, the difference between basically an endocrine and exocrine glands is the exocrine glands have got ducts. So, whatever the juices are produced in the gland, they are drained via the ducts. Example is liver. Whereas endocrine glands are called ductless glands, and the entire discharge or hormonal discharge is directly drained in the bloodstream. So, thyroid is one of the very, very important endocrine glands. And in general, thyroid diseases affect around 3 to 4 billion people globally. That is a staggering number. We have got iodine deficiency disorders, which are common worldwide, especially in this part of India, sub-Himalayan terrain. Then we have got iodine excess, which is again common in developed countries. Iodine malassimilation occurs quite a very wide geographic areas. And that is the reason why thyroid disorders are becoming more and more commoner.
Can I interrupt?
Yeah.
Just because of the pronunciation, what is there? Iron?
Iodine.
Iodine. Okay, iodine,
yeah.
Or iodine. It's pronounced a little bit differently in different countries, so I just wanted to make sure that we had the right word. Okay, good. Thank you.
And Furthermore, thyroid surgery is the most common neck surgery performed by ENT specialists, otolaryngologists. So all these disorders, all these reasons add to growing increase of thyroid diseases throughout the world. Now, thyroid basically secretes two hormones. One is the thyroxine, that is T4 hormone, and calcitonin. T4 is primarily released hormone, and it converts itself to T3, which is at least 10 times more active in the periphery. And this production is regulated by thyroid stimulating hormone, which is called TSH, which is secreted from the anterior pituitary gland. This T4 and T3, they act as negative feedback to TSH, and there's a cycle going on. TSH stimulates T3 and T4, and more the level of T3 and T4 in the blood, there's a negative feedback and TSH goes down. This TSH in turn is also stimulated by a thyroid releasing hormone of the hypothalamus. So this cycle goes on in the body of every human being, and thereby the thyroid is maintained. The thyroid levels are maintained. Thyroid is a very, very important hormone as far as the brain development is concerned. I mean, it starts secreting by the third week of intrauterine life, and without thyroid hormone, the brain development is not complete. So it's a very, very important hormone in the intrauterine life. Of course, it does have its importance as far as other functions are concerned, but this is an important hormone in the intrauterine life.
Okay, so you're saying this is the beginning of the cycle. We're learning about the cycle and the importance. You're still there?
Yeah.
Okay.
So that is why there are two conditions, hypothyroidism and hyperthyroidism. Hypothyroidism is lesser quantity of thyroid hormones or lesser functioning of the thyroid hormones. And vice versa, it's also true, it's called hyperthyroidism. When we see hypothyroidism, there are four reasons why a person could be hypothyroid. Either there can be the abnormality of the gland per se, or there can be an abnormality of the pituitary gland which controls the thyroid gland, or there can be an abnormality of the hypothalamus which controls the pituitary gland which in turn controls the thyroid gland. And finally, all the three glands can be normal, but there can be an end organ resistance. I mean, the organs on which the thyroid hormone acts, they can be resistant to the thyroid action. So all these three, four reasons can lead to hypothyroidism. Commonly, autoimmunity is one of the common conditions of hypothyroidism. And there are various diseases called Hashimoto's thyroiditis. Hashimoto's thyroiditis is a special form of, it's a name given to a special form of inflammation of thyroid gland, where the gland starts deteriorating in function. Then we have got Graves' disease. Graves' disease is another autoimmune disease, which usually presents as hyperthyroidism, but in many females or many people, it can also present as hypothyroidism. Then obviously we have got surgery of thyroid gland. When the thyroid gland is removed because of whatever reason, you can land up in hypothyroidism. Then radioiodine ablation. It's a special form of ablation when the thyroid gland goes in size, it's called goiter. And when the goiter is to be removed, then radioiodine ablation is taking place. In that situation, you may land up in hypothyroidism. If you're using drugs like lithium or amiodarone is a very special drug used it's an anti-cancer drug and quite commonly used in various types of leukemias and many other malignancies. In such situations, a person lands up in hypothyroidism. So these are very common causes of hypothyroid states.
Okay, I'm here, and I put myself on chat on the mute while you speak, so I'm not interfering with your sound. You've proposed quite a bit of information. What I was thinking of when you were talking about intrauterine, way back at the beginning, you were saying that even at the beginning of life. So does a person's thyroid gland and functioning get set up during pregnancy?
Yeah. pregnancy, the thyroid gland is very, very important. Otherwise, if the thyroid does not act, then we have got cretinism. Cretinism is called congenital hypothyroidism. It's seen severe hypothyroidism in the newborn. And the child presents as a protuberant abdomen, flat nose, yellow skin, constipated child, excessively lethargic. The child has got feeding difficulties, hoarse voice, particularly mentally retarded child. They've got delayed maturation. Testicular enlargement is there in such children. And at later age, they've got precocious menarche as well in females. So, cretinism is a bane. I mean, it's a preventable bane. Prevent this bane. And thyroid hormones should be checked in all pregnant females. So, it's very, very imminent.
Okay, so there are steps perhaps that women can take during their pregnancy. For instance, you said just checking the level of the thyroid gland. I don't believe I ever had that done during
normally in the first trimester, it is, if the clinical suspicion is there, the gynec or the obstetrician does check the female, does recommend for checking of thyroid hormones, at least here in India. Now, how do we know that one may be having thyroid hypothyroidism?
Good question.
Initially, when the disease is very mild, the first symptom and a very prominent symptom is lethargy. And a person definitely says, initially I was a very bubbly kind of person. I could socialize very easily. I could go to places. But now I feel quite lethargic. And some people may point out to the age. Some people may point out to their work. But actually, they should point to themselves and say, why am I lethargic? I was working for the past 20 years at the same bank. Now, why am I getting bored? So, boredom, lethargy is one of the very, very persistent symptoms of hypothyroidism. Then slowly as the disease progresses, the patient starts having hoarseness in his or her voice. The clarity of the voice goes down and the voice becomes very gruff and hoarse. Slowly, there is a thickness and dryness of the skin. Initially, the skin was very luxuriant, but now it becomes a bit typical dry, and itching does not take place, but then dryness of the skin is perpetually there. Finally, constipation. If the person is having good or regular bowel habits, he or she starts getting constipated, and in spite of taking medications, the constipation does not seem to go. Another very peculiar feature is cold intolerance. Initially, people could tolerate cold in the same environment, but then cold intolerance takes place, and the person typically says, "Doc, please put off your fan." Or in the household also, fan is not wanted. Air conditions are not wanted. The gait becomes a bit stiff. People may develop hearing loss. And they may develop small white patches, what we call as vitiligo. Vitiligo is very common in hypothyroidism. So all these are very important features to know that the person is having mild to moderate hypothyroidism.
Okay, so the person, when they notice these things, I mean, does it develop suddenly or does it develop over a slow period of time?
No. Hypothyroidism generally develops over, it develops in the change of life, either during puberty or during menopause or during andropause or when an insult has taken place or in post-pregnancy. When an insult has taken place, some emotional stress, and it takes a long time, say particularly 3 to 4, 5 years, and the patient does not realize, not even he himself or the relatives. It's gradually over a period of time, then you begin to notice and you analyze yourself, how you were and how you are. That time probably you may go to the doctor or your physician. If you are regular, go to the physician. The physician, if he can detect, then it's good for you. So these are few of the symptoms: lethargy, constipation, hoarseness, thick dry skin, cold intolerance, rarely hearing loss, vitiligo, and stiffness of gait. They are very, very common in hypothyroidism.
Right. So it's a complex of symptoms that all together are good indicators. And for a person, normally we rationalize one thing or another. You know, I'm getting tired, I'm getting bored, I'm getting slow. We might think it's depression. or not getting enough sunshine or something, that we give ourselves excuses and don't go to the doctor to find
exactly.
out specifically. So we, how, what is the best advice you have that a partner or somebody should be also involved in the health of the individual?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it should be the partner, if he or she can be involved, or the family as such. And one of the important things, the maximum patients I get of hypothyroidism, the biggest complaint is not of lethargy or not of hoarseness or not of constipation, is, but the complaint is, doc, I've starved myself. I go walking 10 kilometers or 5 kilometers and yet I have not lost an inch or not lost 1 kilogram of weight. So increase in weight, in irrespective of increase in diet, or even
okay.
if you're starving yourself, that is a very, very important indication that hypothyroidism is there. Hypothyroid people don't lose weight fast, and that is one of the very common presentations why people come to us for hypothyroidism.
Right, because they say my metabolism is slow or something
yeah.
like that.
Everything is at a very low ebb, very low ebb.
Well, I want to let you know we have a lot of people in the chat today, and if they have any comments or questions, we would be glad to entertain them.
Exactly. And I mean, I would be very glad to answer, because normally it becomes a one-way, rather two-way. It's a two-way talk. more people are involved, it would be a very lively discussion.
Right.
Then, particularly when we're speaking about heart and hypothyroidism, the cardiac symptoms of hypothyroidism are breathlessness and exertion. Apart from being lethargic, the person really becomes breathless. Initially, the stamina goes on decreasing. Initially, if I could walk about 3 kilometers with ease, now if I am hypothyroid or I'm developing hypothyroidism, my stamina would decrease and I would be able to walk up to 1 kilometer, then have to take some rest, then go on. Poor exercise tolerance is a very common cardiac symptom of hypothyroidism. It is basically due to weakness in the skeletal muscles. But in patients with heart disease, the symptoms may be because of worsening heart failure. Hypothyroid worsens heart failure. It does not bring heart failure, but people with having heart failure already and hypothyroidism, then they have got to combat two things. Bradycardia, the heart rate is modulated by thyroid hormone. So that in hypothyroidism, the heart rate typically 10 to 20 beats per minute is slower than normal. Hypothyroidism worsens the tendency for premature beats. And you can have atrial fibrillation. I mean, extreme. Bradycardia is common, but on the other end, atrial fibrillation is very common symptom of hypothyroidism. And unless and until thyroid hormones are controlled, you cannot hope to treat atrial fibrillation at all.
I am here with you. I'm listening. So
yeah.
So the heart is intricately connected to
exactly.
the thyroid.
Like all organs, even heart is. But heart has to the circulatory system has to bear the major brunt. Another very peculiar cardiac symptom of hypothyroidism is diastolic hypertension. I mean, the patient I've been normotensive. I mean, my blood pressures have been normal since a long time. But now, doc, only my lower blood, the diastolic BP is rising. I don't know why. I am not tense. I am not smoking. But still, the BP goes on increasing. The normal blood pressure, diastolic blood pressure should be around 80, maximum 84. But then slowly 90, 90 to 100, 100 to 104. So diastolic hypertension is very important. So one might think that because of a lack of thyroid hormone, it slows down the metabolism. So people with hypothyroidism might suffer from low blood pressure. But usually the opposite is true. The arteries become very stiff in hypothyroidism, which causes the diastolic blood pressure to rise. And there is edema due to worsening of congestive cardiac failure, which I've already said. But in addition to hypothyroidism, there's a peculiar feature called myxedema. Myxedema is caused by an accumulation of abnormal proteins and other molecules in the interstitial fluid. And that gives a very edematous approach or edematous appearance to the entire person's face as well as the skin. And lastly, there's worsening of coronary artery disease because of a great increase in LDL cholesterol. LDL cholesterol is a bad cholesterol. And hypothyroidism, particularly increases LDL cholesterol, which causes premature atherosclerosis or worsening of coronary artery disease. So these are the cardiac symptoms of hypothyroidism.
Now, okay, so I every time you pause, you give me a chance to come back in and kind of either sum up or ask a question. If anybody on the chat has a comment or question, we are very happy to answer it. And we've gone through, so far, you've gone through many of the diseases of the thyroid gland, the cycle of the hormones, and how it's related to the other organs of the body, and things that we can diagnose or test. For instance, when you go to your annual physical to test your cholesterol level, and to see what those are, and also your regular daily symptoms, noticing how you're feeling, whether you're putting on weight and not able to lose weight, even if you're not eating very much or doing a lot of exercise, these types of things that would signal to you that there's something not functioning properly in your body. So from here, are there further diseases that I'm concerned about the iodine level also, whether we should be eating salt that has iodine or not?
Yeah.
Want to address that?
I don't know about other countries, but in India, it is mandatory by the government of India that all edible salts should be iodinated. I mean, we have got iodine-rich salts. So whichever, normally the government of India manufactures salt, but even private companies, they would be selling salt, they would be iodinated salts. So we've got two types of salts here. 90% are iodinated and 10% are non-iodinated salts.
Okay, so for those types of salts, I mean, is that healthy? Because I always prefer non-manufactured in this, processed in this way. I prefer Celtic salts or Himalayan salts or something that is more natural. I'm afraid of having too much iodine. Or what do you say to that?
The problem was in 1974-75, throughout India, this hypothyroidism and goiter is abnormal enlargement of thyroid gland. It's called goiter, G-O-I-T-R-E. Now, this was very much prevalent throughout the country. So to remove that, there was a blanket prescription, and that is iodination. So how do you give iodine to people? So the best method was salt. So because iodine goes very well with natrium muraticum. So that is why the salt was mixed in India. But nowadays, we have in many patients we have to actually point out that they have of course, apart from hypothyroidism I'm talking about, many people we are telling them not to take iodinated salts, and we have to add rock salt, which I said potassium chloride in the diet, because potassium is very important for the heart. But more not only in India but Indian subcontinent, places like Pakistan, like Nepal, then Sri Lanka, Burma, many of these places, we still use iodinated salt to great extent. And the normal salt is not available as freely as iodinated salt.
Okay, so in some parts of the world, it is recommended because they're not getting enough. And
exactly.
For people who eat a lot of salt and have a very high salty diet,
Indians typically. Indians typically have got a predilection for a high salty diet. And I mean, I've been to States, I've been to Europe, and I eat Indian food. Throughout India, right from north, south, east, and west, the salt content is very high. And if there's less of salt, Indians don't appreciate food. So salt and spices are very, very essential ingredients of Indian food. And then that is causing a lot of problems as far as management of certain disorders like hypothyroidism is concerned.
Okay. So we've covered a lot about hypothyroidism.
Yeah, but now, no, we have covered the symptoms of hypothyroidism. Now then,
okay,
what to do once you have got hypothyroidism?
Good
particularly
question.
what to do with homeopathy? See, the modern concept in modern medicine, the concept is if the thyroid levels are less, then give a replacement by Eltroxin, the hormone. For example, if insulin is less than diabetes, then add insulin in your from external sources. Likewise, if thyroid hormone is not enough being secreted in the body, then add thyroid hormone. What homeopathy says is, it is not the hormone which is less only. It is the malassimilation, the use of the hormone. Many times, thyroid levels may be normal, but the use is not there. Still, the symptom patients suffer from hypothyroidism. So, basically, homeopathy corrects hypothyroidism in its holistic perspective so that additional hormone is not required throughout the life. Because it is said that once hypothyroidism is detected and once you start with thyroid hormones, external replacement, then you have to continue throughout life. With our experience, many of our patients, of course, no study has been published, but many of our patients, once we do a constitutional therapy, many of the patients are relieved and they need not take thyroid hormones throughout their life. So that is a very, very important constitutional treatment. People should, of hypothyroidism, should undergo constitutional treatment with homeopathy so that they may need not keep on taking thyroid replacement therapy for a long time. Or even if they have to take, they have to take it in a minimal dose, 25 micrograms or max 50 micrograms, not exceeding 100 or 125 or 150, which itself brings a lot of other problems in future.
And
so that is the role of homeopathy.
And you mentioned Nature Muriaticum as one of the major homeopathic remedies, but we must let people know that this is just a study session. If you do need to see a physician to get help, this is what we recommend. Other remedies that homeopaths use have a component perhaps of iodine or iodine.
Yeah. There are many specific drugs. For example, if I have to control my thyroid levels, see, homeopathic drugs will not decrease or increase the thyroid levels, but they will maintain a homeostasis or what we call balance. A natural balance is achieved. And once the constitutional remedy is given, then certain drugs like spongia, iodum, calcare iod, kali iod, crotalis cascabella, these are very, very specific remedies. Even I remember a very rare drug called Oxytropis lambarti. It's called as locoweed or rattleweed. It's a very beautiful legume. And this drug especially helps us to balance thyroid hormones. Of course, it has taken in mother tincture form, this oxytropis, or at the most in 1x, 2x or 3x potency, not more than that. But real achievement, balance is achieved with this of thyroid hormones. Another very good drug, quite rare in US, is Parthenium. Parthenium hysterophorus is a complete name. It is also called bitter broom. This dry plant is again a very important drug for control of thyroid hormones and bringing the thyroid hormones level balance in the body. So these are very specific drugs and they can be availed of. So homeopathy has really got things to offer for people for hypothyroidism.
That's fascinating. I'm sure to many people to realize that there are plants that can assist the body in balancing its function when we might be thinking about minerals or even animals, sea animals that would deal with these types of problems. But the
exactly.
Okay.
Now, I mean, see what happens is that in many, many cases, and the percentage is quite high, they are started with the thyroid replacement hormones. Say, we normally start with 25 micrograms and increase to 50, then probably 100. But after 100 and 125, they become resistant. So how much ever you increase, the thyroid hormones do not balance. In such a situation, it's a precarious situation for the patient. The physician can't increase the dose much further because more the thyroid hormones, then you get the symptoms of those thyroid hormones like nervousness and tremors and all. So in such situation also, drugs like these spongia and calcare iod and the oxytropis or parthenium, they would help in balancing the thyroid hormones and restricting the dose to maximum, say, 100 or lesser than that. So another very good, great gift by homeopathy for management of hypothyroid states.
So it sounds like you use a combination of homeopathic remedy in potency. I don't know whether they're all low potency or mid or high potency, plus mother tinctures. And
low potencies.
Low potency, okay.
Yeah, not exceeding 30C.
Okay, so this is at a very base level for homeopathy to initiate the body to continue functioning. And is this given on a daily basis, a weekly basis for these conditions?
Weekly basis. For example, if I start to my patient, I normally follow Kent's octave scale. Kent's octave scale means you start after giving a constitutional drug. For example, if I am suffering from hypothyroidism, my constitutional drug is, say, lycopodium. I take that lycopodium, and after 15 days or so, I start with a drug like calcarea iode. And calcarea iode starts with 1. Say every Sunday, I increase the potency 1, then maximum 3, then jump to 6, then 12, then 30, 200, 1M, 10M, 50M, CM. I keep on increasing till I achieve a very good level of thyroid hormones. So that is called Kent's octave scale, and it is really beneficial in using such scales in such type of disorders, wherein single drug like lycopodium would not be able to achieve the level to great stability.
I see. So you need to be in touch with your physician at all times to know when to make such a change in the octave level. And I've also been reading a bit about the Fibonacci scale. And this,
yeah.
I don't know whether you have investigated it, but it's also a beautiful harmony with nature, and that might work also for those who are knowledgeable about that scale. So you're saying that over a period of years, you would be slowly increasing up the Kentian scale.
Yeah, exactly. Till we achieve our regular thyroid levels, till the patient is asymptomatic and the balance is maintained for a long time. So we need to monitor the patient. Yes, it generally takes about 2 or 3 years to get the balance. And once this balance is achieved, it's very easy to maintain them.
So when they're maintained, they still continue on with the homeopathic remedies?
No, not necessarily. They do not continue with homeopathic drugs. They are just maintained yearly. We have a checkup of thyroid levels. And
okay.
If we find plus minus great increase or decrease in the levels, then we manage doses accordingly. So it is highly individualistic, but many of our patients are very well maintained. But replacement therapy needs to be started first, then start with homeopathic constitutional drug, and then go on to some specifics if required.
Well, this is very encouraging for people who either have these types of diseases, are already on drugs that perhaps are not working as well or starting to cause other kinds of side effects to the body, and to know that there is another holistic form of medicine that could help them to alleviate their symptoms.
Yeah, and exactly opposite is thyrotoxicosis. Thyrotoxicosis is hyperthyroidism. It's a state where exposed tissue responds to excess of thyroid hormones. And thyrotoxicosis is much difficult to treat than hypothyroidism, because it has got nervousness. Excessively, the patient becomes nervous. You can see fine tremors, abnormal sweating, heat intolerance, palpitations, weight loss, amenorrhea, weakness. It's very, very easy to diagnose thyrotoxicosis or hyperthyroid states, because these are very pronounced symptoms. The patient becomes very nervous in a very short span of time. You can actually see the tremors, the shaking cups, the shaking glasses. Unusual sweating is very, very easily seen. Palpitations are very, very easily felt by the patients. Heat intolerance and weight loss is definitely seen. So thyrotoxicosis is very, very easy. And there's a definite eye pattern which we call proptosis. That means the patient's eye seems popped up. So this is a telltale sign of thyrotoxicosis. And why it is very difficult? Because the commonest cause of thyrotoxicosis is called Graves' disease. And Graves' disease is an autoimmune disease. Auto means self, and immune means your own immune system is attacking some part of your cells. So it becomes very difficult. we can actually, it's very easy to fight outside enemy, but it's very difficult to fight inside enemy. So that's why thyrotoxicosis becomes, it is like rheumatoid arthritis, or it is like systemic lupus erythematosus. It becomes very difficult to treat such cases. But yet, homeopathy, we have got drugs, and at present, I have got at least not less than 30, 35 patients of thyrotoxicosis under my care, doing very, very well.
Can you give us some examples of any of your cases? We have almost a dozen people in the chat. It's so exciting to see that we have a lot of listeners today. And I want to encourage people to put these shows onto your reminders and come in.
For example,
go ahead.
Since you were talking about cases, recently I had a case. She was admitted at a hospital. Her pregnancy was uneventful. And in the ninth month of intrauterine life, she started showing signs of hyperthyroidism in the form of tremors and undue perspiration. But she did not report because she thought that it would be because of pregnancy. But since we were examining her when she had come for antenatal checkup, we could pick out certain signs, and her thyroid levels were particularly high. Now, so she had crossed ninth month and she was about to deliver, and thyroid levels T4 and T3 were particularly high. So we started giving her Pulsatilla, because Pulsatilla was not only her remedy, but Pulsatilla is also the remedy for ailments during pregnancy and after pregnancy. And with Pulsatilla in ascending potency, we started with 1 mg in that time, because we had to control thyroid levels. So and we could really achieve a good thyroid control in a short span of time, say 1 week, and we could get the delivery done, and she's still under follow-up. And Pulsatilla has been repeated again from 10 mg and 50 mg. Two potency have been repeated. It's I think last week she delivered. She delivered a healthy male child weighing 3.5 kg who is his thyroid levels are normal. The baby's thyroid levels are normal. So
right.
Simple
drug
like Pulsatilla can control hyperthyroid states. Postpartum thyroiditis is what we call this.
And also many people say that the homeopathic remedy given to the pregnant mother and the breastfeeding mother is also giving this remedy to the baby.
Exactly. The other day, I remember, it's I would say I think 2 or 3 months ago I'm talking about, we had a patient of thyroid storm. Now, thyroid storm means she's a 68 years female who had come from a small village from near Nagpur, and she presented with directly with coma and heart failure. So she was admitted in the ICU, and her thyroid hormones were incidentally checked, and they were exceedingly very high. But she was not responding to Digitalis and Lasix, which are the drugs of choice. At that time, I was called in, and with Belladonna 0/1, millisimal potency, and ice baths, we could settle the thyroid storm. So that is, homeopathy can be a genuine help for hyperthyroid cases as well, even in such situations. Now, thyroid storm becomes an emergency. But in a very simple drug like Belladonna, we could abort her heart failure. Patient has come out of coma, and her hyperthermia, because she had got very high fever, 105. So that was a clue. High fever, heart failure, and coma. These three trio, that means you are dealing with thyroid storm. But so these cases are very rare. But occasionally you get, and I was very happy that I was a part of her treatment, and homeopathy could help her, where conventional system of medicine could not do much. So that's gratifying.
Very gratifying. And when you have a case with such extreme symptoms, does this get written in to as like a clinical part, approving of how your remedies are working, that this was definitely showing that Belladonna worked for these particular symptoms, and it confirmed for you that? How would that be applied to our repertory in our Materia Medica?
Yeah, of course. See, many of the symptoms of Materia Medica and repertory, they are not proved symptoms. They're clinical symptoms. And sometimes in your life you get such cases where, there is no proving done. So you apply a particular remedy for other reasons, like Belladonna was given for the fever, and eventually brought down the thyroid levels and thereby helped us. So, not Belladonna per se was not given for hyperthyroid state. It was given for febrile condition, the coma, and the entire state of disposition which I observed. So, that actually could bring down thyroid levels is a big thing. And such studies need to be done and such cases need to be actually incorporated so that others may be benefiting. Because nowadays, homeopaths also are there in ICCU. They have, at least in India, many ICCU people employ homeopaths as registrars and medical officers. So such cases are required for them. And they should know that drugs, simple drugs like Belladonna can help in treating such grave emergencies.
Right, so we know that Belladonna has been used historically for, I'm getting a reverberation, a scarlet fever, and so we know that it is a heart remedy.
Yeah, it is not heart remedy per se, but circulatory upheaval, which is typically caused by thyroid hormones, excess thyroid hormones, are very well curtailed with Belladonna. Because hyperthyroidism presents as tachycardia, palpitations, ventricle tachycardia. Ventricle tachycardia is particularly notorious. And if it is prolonged, then patient may it will be fatal for the patient. So such, it's very well prevented with Belladonna.
Okay, so did you want to talk further about the hyperthyroid conditions?
Recently a patient, a 69 years old female. Now, she has been a regular patient, but off and on, she comes to me for gastritis or some muscle pain on that. But since past few months, particularly since October, she is coming to me. And one peculiar symptom was that I feel giddy, episodes of giddiness. So, we checked her blood pressure. Only her systolic blood pressure is high. And the systolic blood pressure ranges from 200 and the diastolic is 80. It never goes above 80. It remains between 70 to 80. And initially for 1 month, we did not do any investigations. We continued treating her. I gave her Glonine. I gave her Viratum Viridi. Finally, I told her, just let us do a thyroid examination. And we found hyperthyroid state. Then I took the entire history. Her drug is natrum muraticum. We gave her natrum muraticum 1 mg in December. Again in January, another dose of 1 mg natrum muraticum was given. And she is not on any antihypertensive drugs. And still her BP is well maintained. Also, her thyroid levels are well maintained. So we have such cases when we are talking about hyperthyroidism. Till now they have been maintained. So, systolic hypertension is very, very peculiar for hyperthyroidism. Isolated systolic hypertension. Of course, heart failure or worsening of heart failure is again a very common symptom of both hypo and hyperthyroidism states. And worsening of angina. When a patient has got already a known case of ischemic heart disease, and if he or she develops hyperthyroidism, then the angina, the symptoms keep on worsening. And until the thyroid levels are corrected, the drugs don't act. So in many cases we observe that in spite of taking sorbitrate or the nitrates, which are typically given in modern medicine, but yet the patients still keep on complaining, doc, I've got heaviness in my chest, I've got pain in my chest, I've got a typical sensation of constriction in my chest. This is not going. What should I do? And you ask the patient to go in for a hyperthyroid checkup. The levels are high. You bring down the levels. And the patient stops complaining. And then luckily with homeopathy, you still have to prescribe on the symptomatic basis. You don't need to consider that the thyroid levels are more. But then with your drugs, the thyroid levels do go down. So that's an additional benefit.
Every single time you have a case that improves, I know it's kind of a miracle, and a small miracle, and it continues to confirm that what you're doing is good. And it probably encourages you further to keep pursuing your study and your practice.
Exactly, because see, hypothyroidism, another very in hypo, not hyper, both thyroid states actually, but particularly in hypothyroidism, a most very, very common symptom apart from lethargy is negative visualization. The person starts becoming more and more negative, what we call is depression. And depression rates are very high in hypothyroid people. So we have to convince them, we have to give them positive visualization. A person needs to come and sit down and give psychotherapy. And I have to tell them that positive thoughts attract positive energy, negative thoughts attract negative energy. Negative, it will never happen. This is the patient's view. A physician has to be realistic, and you have to tell them, yes, it can happen, and bring him or her to the positive side that it will happen. You are going to get well. So that's what I ask my patients to do. And so people are they become like typical sepia. Sepia, one of the prominent symptoms of sepia is aversion to people who she loves best. So we have to tell that patient that the feeling of love is the highest frequency you can emit. Start loving yourself first and loving people around you.
It's amazing to hear doctors talk this way.
Doctors have to talk this way. Doctors are human beings first. Doctors need to control the mind first and then the physical body. We have to ask the patient to focus on what you appreciate in a person. There are so many negative attitudes. Doc, she is that way, she is that way, he is that way, and he is that way. But then you are focusing on the negative aspects. Please start focusing on the what you appreciate in a person. You have to tell them that words, actions, and thoughts means desire. They are the combination. A desire is nothing but words, then the actions, and then the thoughts. So many of our patients,
nice.
They come and they always see the thorns in the rosebud, near the rosebud. They never see the rose blooming. So we have to tell them that all roses do not have thorns. Please do not generalize your problems.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, once you discuss with the patients, slowly and steadily, you get around and you can control. One of the patients, he's a young boy, he's a software engineer. He wanted to go to US and just imagine. See, he wanted to go to US for his higher studies. He had already applied in Yale University and he got the admission, but he was not getting visa. He tried once, twice, thrice, four times. It was so sad that he could not get. And slowly and steadily he was getting depressed and when he came to us that he was putting on weight. So casually, he said that because of depression, I'm putting on weight, I tend to eat more and do nothing. But I asked him to do his thyroid levels, and his thyroid levels were low, so hypothyroidism. Of course, the drug was given to him, Staphylococcus aureus was given to him. But more than that, I have a picture in my entrance room, and that picture says, it's a picture of a mountain, the Himalayas. And it says, I'll come back and conquer you, because as a mountain you can't grow, but as a human being I can, by Edmund Hillary. It's a very beautiful picture. And it says,
climbing the mountain. Yeah.
Yeah, I'll come back and conquer you, because as a mountain you can't grow, but as a human being I can. And I always tell him, see, Edmund Hillary failed 7 times conquering Mount Everest, but at the 8th time he did so. So please do not lose hope. And your life does not end if you don't go to US. But life does end if you keep on being depressed.
Right. So we have many heroes and models that we must create to look up to continue. And the physician is there to provide hope. And because there is such a thing as the white coat phenomena, a patient depends upon you to give them advice and instill that little grain of hope that, yes, there is something we can do for your situation. And
Exactly. And
even if we don't get it the first time, we will keep trying. And everybody has to do their little part of effort. And if we just put on that smile, that can change our day, our outlook, our chemistry.
Exactly. I mean, many people I see, they keep on holding grudges. And I tell them forgiveness brings peace, love and joy to our lives. It's another form of love. So it releases us from our past. So please start forgiving. And if nothing works, nothing works. Forget about medicines, forget about anything else. Prayers are there. Prayers help us connect with the higher source. So prayers heal many wounds of the heart and the soul. At least pray and pray properly. So that at least should be done. And that we should teach our patients to pray if they are not praying.
It's beautiful to end our show on this note, on this happy, joyous, and hopeful note. And you're going to tell us, what are we going to talk about next week on Wednesday at 11?
You tell me if there are any particular topics you want. Why not?
What would you like?
I was thinking about diet and, blood group diets, which we follow here.
Ah, everybody will want to listen to that one. They've been waiting for that one. Yeah, that sounds great. In previous shows, Dr. Adel has been talking about how he gives diets to many of his patients based on their blood type. And it seems to be effective. So we want to learn about that. And if you know your blood type, you can maybe make adjustments for what foods that you will be improving your body. We have only 1 minute left. And again, I want to tell everybody to share these shows. These are so packed, jam-packed, full of wonderful information, learning, and hope about using homeopathy as a healing modality. I want to remind you, we have a special show coming up with Manfred Mueller talking about the cancer disease and his approach and method that he has been studying for a long time, autotautopathy. And also on Thursday, we have Alan Phillips talking about vaccinations and your rights in the United States. It probably, with all the current events, we do talk about many other countries in the world. And then following that show on Thursday at 1 o'clock is Dr. Christina Chambreau, Doctor of Veterinary Medicine, talking about pet health. And she has been just doing a series, which really is a tutorial about how to practice homeopathy and emergency medicine and to observe your pets and create a loving environment for them. So we're she is phenomenal. So we've got some great shows on Homeopathy World Community Blog Talk Radio, and I'm always thrilled to talk with you each week. You really bring joy into our day. So we're going to end today's show and pick up in a couple of minutes with Manfred if you would like to join us and stay on the show. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Bye.
And bye-bye.
Great week and ahead.
And happy holiday to you tomorrow.
Thank you. Thank you so much. God bless.
Thank you for listening to Heart Health and Homeopathy on Homeopathy World Community Blog Talk Radio with homeopath Debbie Brock and Dr. Adil Chinsanawala Kasim, MD cardiologist. We encourage you to follow our show. Click the reminder button to receive email notices when the show airs, and share with friends on Facebook and Twitter. Please send in your comments and questions, and we'll see you next time.